Thank you, Bill. Bill got a phone call yesterday from Camp Kirkland. Some of you know who Camp Kirkland is, a ranger, composer. And the big band came here last August, and they called and asked Bill if he would begin doing the logistics and start directing the band, and they offered him a salary. And so he told them that he didn't want a salary, that he would do logistics and help direct the band, and he would be gone next year about 9 Sundays with them. So Bill came in to see if I'd give him my approval, and I said, well, it's fine, but I said, if you don't want your salary, I think Camp Kirkland ought to donate it to Pleasant Valley South, and then we'll let you be gone 9 Sundays. Camp Kirkland came back with a rebuttal there. He made a counteroffer. He said, we'll do a free concert for you next year. Well, we can get that without Bill traveling all over the world with him for free. And so I'm still looking for whatever his salary was to be donated to Pleasant Valley South. When we check Facebook tomorrow, so you're not dreaming. It won't be the 6 wise men. It'll be the 6 idiots. Two of our staff members can't be with us tomorrow. We go to sing to all of our shut-ins in one day. Wes is called Red Pants, and so I'll have on my red corduroys tomorrow and thermals, top and bottom. And I think we have about 20 shut-ins to go sing to tomorrow. Some are in nursing homes, some assisted living. Some are there in their homes. They're from the northern part of the county all the way into Polk County. And so Tom is off tomorrow, so he's excused. And Bill has a daughter that's getting her master's degree in the morning from Shorter. And then he conveniently booked a Christmas dinner with his mother and assisted living tomorrow. And then he has some kind of party he's supposed to go to tomorrow night, so he's excused this year. But we've got all of our Santa hats ready to go. And Eric, our youth minister, has got to buy a Santa hat tomorrow. Warren used to like for us to buy our Santa hats from Walmart when he was our business administrator and leave the tags on them. And then we got through singing, carry them back and get our money back. And we never did that, but that's what he wanted us to do. Do you believe that, Diane? Well, that's what he shared with us once upon a time. And he don't hear well, and I don't know how well his memory is anymore, but I do remember something about keeping our tags on them so we get our money back. All right. Tonight I want to talk about some symbols of Christmas. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. By the way, you're going to notice that a lot of churches in our area are doing Christmas Eve services. Next Wednesday night is our Christmas Eve service, though Christmas Eve is not till Saturday night week. Yes, we are going to have a service at 10:30. And for whomever shows up. Now, usually our crowd's real good on Christmas morning, so we won't be called pagans. We're going to have a service on Christmas Day. All right? So we voted on that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Several years ago in California, there was a public relations nightmare for Costco. Costco had Bibles for sale on their book table, as you see like in Sam's, and they were $14.99 a piece. But at the top of the price sticker, they had the book classification. You know, there's nonfiction, fiction, on and on it goes. Well, these were listed as fiction. And a pastor walked in and saw that, and so he took a picture of it and posted it up on Facebook that Costco had classified Bibles as fiction. Well, the Costco Public Relations Department heard about this pretty fast So they decided they needed to do something quickly. So they had all those stickers removed. And Costco's public relations department said the company that shipped those had put those labels on there by mistake and delivered them to their store. So there were apologies and regrets. But the mishap certainly causes us to think. The recorded history of an event that dictates the very date we see on our phones each day is hardly a piece of fiction. Well, there are three symbols I want to talk about tonight briefly that point us to Christ and Christmas. And those three symbols are the cradle, the cross, and the crown. They're all mentioned here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. You look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6a, and we see the cradle. For to us a child is born. When we look at that little phrase, we see, for unto us a child is born. We read a little further, and it says, unto us a son is given. That sounds very repetitious. But when you look at that closely, what he's actually saying is, for unto us a child is born. That's talking about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. For unto us a son is given. That's the only Son of God. That's talking about the deity of Christ. So you've got the humanity and the deity all in that one verse. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So verse 14 says in John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld His glory full of grace and truth. Have you ever thought about this? A word is an expression of a thought. I want you to take a quick 5-second time out. And I want you to have a thought. Impossible to have a thought without a word. Think about that. So when we look at this, the Greek word there for word is logos. That's the thought of God, the expression of God. So it says that Jesus was in the beginning with God, and in fact, He was God. He didn't begin in the cradle. He only came in the cradle to be the expression of God, the revelation of God to man at that time. But Jesus also had to be born of a virgin. Some people say, well, I just can't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you can believe God made man out of the dust of the ground, which I believe that with all the heart, mind, and soul, you'll have no problem believing in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't believe in the same Jesus that I know as my Savior and my Lord. Jesus was born of a virgin, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, so that the holy thing born in her was born of God, conceived of God. Jesus Christ is 100% divine. He was 100% human. I don't want the music department to hear this, but several years ago, there was a church in Lawndale Community Church in Chicago. They took a very big risk. When you come to our church, Pam Raines is the team leader, but she is the one that decorates our church with her volunteers every year for Christmas and other occasions. And I don't know about you, I love the poinsettia tree. Lee's been excited since we don't use live poinsettias. Last Sunday when I was walking out of the Welcome Center, I saw some leaves down on the floor underneath the poinsettias, and I knew they were artificial. Undoubtedly, somebody tore some out, threw them down there so they would look real. If Lee saw that, he'd have had a heart attack because, you know, he had to water a few of them, and he had to clean up after those live poinsettias. But here's what this church decided to do. This is what I don't want the music department to know. They decided that they would put straw down the aisles and all around the front of their church and hay bales when they did their Christmas musical and drama with the choir. And then they went to a cattle farm, and brought in real manure and put it down in the worship center. Because whether they wanted to create the same atmosphere that would have surrounded the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't tell the music department that, because not only they bring in manure, they'll bring in live animals in here. And Lee wouldn't like either one of those things. Now listen to me carefully. It said everybody left that service. It didn't say before it was over or after it was over, with a new appreciation of the surroundings of what it was like in that stable where Jesus was born. So first of all, I want you to see the cradle there, the virgin-born Son of God. And notice the cross. To us a son is given. Now this speaks of the spiritual mystery of His birth. Dr. John Phillips, just an outstanding Bible scholar through the years, here's what he said about this. God was able to translate deity into humanity without discarding the deity or altering or distorting the humanity. We can't even comprehend that. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So this is the cross, the sign of the cross, and the spiritual mystery of the birth. To be virgin born was one requirement. The other was to live a perfect life. Had He not been virgin born, He'd have had a sin nature, and He would have sinned. He could not have lived a perfect life. And Jesus could not have been the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of mankind. No atonement that God the Father could recognize or could accept. No atonement except the one that satisfied the demands of the law. When you look at the cradle, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ was born to die. That was His mission. I was reading the other day about a little boy who lived in a small town, and his mom let him go to the store. And when he got out of the store, he just kind of was disoriented. He couldn't find his way home. And a stranger, saw him out on the side of the street. And he said, "May I help you?" And the little boy said, "I can't find my way home." He said, "Well, can you describe what it looks like?" He said, "No." The little boy said, "But I'll tell you this. There's a building down the street from my house that has a big cross on the top of it." And so the man looked at him and said, "I know exactly where you live." And so he took the boy over to the local church. And as soon as the little boy saw the local church, he saw the cross, he knew exactly how to get home. Remember, the meaning of Christmas is caught up in the cradle. It's caught up in the cross. But also look in verse 6c through 7. We also see the crown. The sovereign majesty of Christ's birth is the symbol of the crown. Isaiah said, "And the government shall be on His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end." Now I want you to know that what He's talking about is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I associate the name, the crown of Christ, with His name. Because notice Isaiah is still prophesying about the baby, about the son who was given. He says His name shall be called Wonderful. You know, His name is Wonderful. He's wonderful in His birth. He's wonderful in His sinless life. He's wonderful on the cross. He's wonderful in the resurrection. He's wonderful in the rapture. He's going to be wonderful in the second coming. And He's going to be wonderful. He rules and reigns throughout eternity. So there's wonder in His name. Notice here He also says, Wonderful Counselor. There's wisdom in His name. His name shall be called Counselor. There's not only wonder in His name, there's wisdom in His name. You know, if we follow the wisdom of this world, if we follow the wisdom of a lot of people in the United States, we'd be living under socialism. We're getting closer and closer to that. If we follow the wisdom of this world, the Bible and Christianity would be banned. Bill told me the other day when they traveled to a certain country with the big band last year, they were told, don't be showing your Bibles publicly. Don't be showing your Bibles when you go through customs. And they told them, when you go through customs, don't let them know that you're a mission group. Tell them that you are professional musicians, which they are. And also, you didn't want your instrument removed from you either. But you see, there's some countries that you and I don't even think about that don't want the Bible. They don't want Christianity. They don't want you talking about the name of Jesus. Well, that's when you get into worldly, earthly wisdom and it'll lead to the decline of your nation. Not only is there wealth and wisdom in His name, but He says His name shall be called the Mighty God. That speaks of the Creator, Elohim, the one who made it all. Often in Scripture, the Bible says that the world was made by Him, and without Him, that is Jesus, nothing was made that is made. The writer of Hebrews said this, that in these last days, God has spoken unto us by His Son, by whom He made the world. So we're reminded that this Son of God wears a crown. The little baby grew up, and that He today is the mighty God who created everything. One of these days, every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's wonder in His name, there's wisdom in His name, there's wealth in His name, but I want you to know there is worship in His name. He is the everlasting Father. Philip cried out, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." That's the cry of humanity, "Show us the Father." That's the God-shaped vacuum in every one of us. And then Jesus said to Philip, "Philip, have I not been with you all this time? And you say, 'Show us the Father.' If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one." Remember, Thomas felt the scars in Jesus' hands and in His side. And he fell to his feet and said, "My Lord and my God." There is worship in the name of Jesus. If you don't believe it, listen to what the book of Revelation, what John wrote. "And when the Lamb had taken the book in His hands, all of heaven fell down before Him, began to worship the Lamb, saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and riches forever and ever.'" There's worship in His name. I want you to know there's welcome in His name. Notice in Isaiah wrote, "His name shall be called Prince of Peace." One day Jesus is going to bring peace. I'm telling you, we're not going to know lasting peace on this side of Jesus coming again. I want you, His name is a saving name. His name is a sovereign name. Isaiah said, "The government shall be upon His shoulders." And that's not happened yet. Jesus came the first time not to rule and reign on this earth. But I want you to know, when He comes again, when in the second coming, He's going to set up His 1,000-year reign, and then He's going to rule and reign throughout all eternity. He came the first time to a cross. The second time, He's coming to a coronation. The first time, He came for sin. The second time, He's coming to judge sinners. He came the first time and wore a crown of thorns. He's coming again to wear the royal diadem. He came the first time and wore a peasant's robe. The next time, He's coming to wear the royal robe. The last time, He came to stand before Pilate. When He comes again, Pilate's going to stand before Him. That name is a sovereign name. I've never been to tour around Rome. Delaney and I were on a flight one time. We went to Italy and spent the night, and I think we caught a plane and went somewhere else. But I understand if you go to Sistine Chapel that you'll be absolutely amazed at the paintings and the sculptured works that are there. And they say that one of the most remarkable things there is the artwork of Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. One day they said that Michelangelo was working on a painting, and a friend noticed the painting, and days passed, and the friend came back over, and he looked at the painting that Michelangelo was working on, and so the friend said, "Well, Michelangelo, why haven't you been working on that painting?" And Michelangelo said, "Well, I've been working on it day and night." And so the friend looked at it and he said, "I can't see any changes in this painting at all." Michelangelo said, "Well, I worked on the finger of a person in this painting all day. Just one finger." And then he said, "I worked on the lobe of that person's ear all one day." Can you imagine this painting, the lobe of a person's ear, all day? And then he said, "Then I worked on a wrinkle on the face in this painting. Just one wrinkle." I know sometimes I see wrinkles on me and I need to get out the caulking gun, but I don't think it'd take me a whole day to smooth that out. But Michelangelo said, I spent a whole day on that wrinkle." And the friend looked at Michelangelo and said, "Why do you spend so much time on trifles?" And Michelangelo said, "Trifles make perfection, and perfection is no trifle." In telling the greatest story the world has ever known, God chose to use a series of little incidents, little things, little tasks, little people, and little places to give us the story of Christ coming into this world. You could not read the account in Luke without being impressed with the fact there's nothing here that man calls great. But someone said, God is great in great things, and God is very great in the little things. So when you see the Christmas story, remember the cradle, remember the cross, and the crown. Because all three of those are directing us to the only one who could purchase and guarantee our salvation. Let's pray together.